Proverbs chapter number 10 this evening. Stay standing, grab your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter number 10. We'll begin reading in verse 11. We'll read all the way through verse number 14 responsively. Proverbs chapter number 10. I'll begin reading in verse number 11, and then you'll join me on verse number 12. We'll alternate through verse number 14. Proverbs chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 11, the Bible says this: "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction." And let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Lord, we thank you for the importance that it holds in this church and in our lives. Lord, thank you that every time that we read the word of God, it's just amazing, Lord, how it comes alive to us and how you show us something else that we need in our lives. And again, this evening, it's on the order of service. We stop here and we pray. But Lord, we just hope that it's not a general moment of silence where we listen to somebody say some good words and try to make us feel good and get us in the mood to hear the word of God. But Holy Spirit, this evening, please, I'd ask that each and every one of us, from the oldest one in here to the youngest, that we'd yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And as the word of God is being preached, look for something that we can apply to our life this evening. Lord, we love you and we thank you for what you've already done this morning, but we need you again tonight. Fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit's power, please. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open to Proverbs chapter 10. I want to help you tonight. God has a lot to say about our mouth and our words. God knows that our mouth can either help us or destroy us. Think how much trouble you've been in. I'll think about how much trouble I've been in. And how much could have been avoided had we just controlled our mouth or our words. Had we just, I wonder how much trouble we get ourselves into due to our mouth, our texting, our tweeting, and social media. Our words. Let me read some verses to you in James chapter 3. You need not turn there, but James 3 verse number 2 says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths and they obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that ye defile the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and birds, and of the serpents and of things in the sea, and is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison." That's what God said about our tongues. Think of how much trouble you've gotten yourself into with that. Think of how much trouble you could have avoided had you not said what came out of there. Fellas, you wouldn't have as many knots on your head. God tells us our tongue controls our life. Matthew chapter 12 verse 34 says this: "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." May I say something? God puts a high premium on what we say, not just what we do. Let me say it this way. Our mouth is the overflow valve of our heart, our feelings, and our emotions. That's why when you get riled up and you say things and then you say, "Oh, I really didn't mean it," you did. Because out of the mouth proceedeth the abundance of the heart. It's in there. We think what we have to say is so important. Can I tell you something? America was a lot better off when we didn't have cell phones and social media. I'm not afraid to say it. Yeah. Isn't it amazing how brave and brazen people are when they hide behind a screen? And by the way, I don't have social media, so I don't know what your account says. I put my face in the book. I don't need Facebook. I need more of this than I do social media, for sure. But isn't it amazing how important we think our words are? We deem our importance by how many followers or how many likes we have. Good grief. My mom used to get mad at me for saying this. She's in heaven. She can't get mad at me. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. You pick which one you want. Your opinion doesn't matter any more than anybody else's. It may be the most important one to you, but guess what? Everybody else has got one too. God has a lot to say and to warn us about our mouth. Now, look at verse number 11 in Proverbs 10 again. I want to show you something here. God says the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. God calls a wise man's mouth a well. But watch this. But violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. That word violence is a Hebrew word that is very akin to our word dynamite. It's violent. If you have ever been around somebody blowing something up with dynamite, it's loud. It's fun. But remember, we were in another church working, and they were blowing some rock up not far from the school that I was administrating, and literally on the same property, but they had gotten into Brother Mike, some of that shelf rock. They put about 15 sticks of dynamite in that thing, and let me tell you, all the buildings on the property shook, because that shelf rock just started like this. It was exciting. It really was. Man, everybody thought we were having an earthquake. Can I tell you something? God says that the mouth of a wicked man is like a stick of dynamite going off. He said the mouth of a wise man is like a well, but the mouth of a foolish person is like dynamite. And not the one on television in the 70s. Dynamite. Anyway, as I preach tonight, I don't want you to think about your spouse. I don't want you to think about your children. I don't want you to think about your parents. I don't want you to think about your fellow employees. I don't want you to think about your friends. I want you to take this sermon personally tonight. I'm preaching to me. I'm not preaching to you. I'm taking it personally. This goes for what you say with your mouth. It goes for what you text. It goes for what you do with social media. Whatever words you use, your email or anything else. This is about how you treat every person, saved or lost. Someone you know or someone you don't know. I do want you taking it personally. Let's look at the words of a wise person, as well as let's look at these words of foolish people, and let's learn what we should do with our own mouth. I'm not telling you where you're at in this. I'll promise you this. Nobody's going to hit all these points real well. None of us. Say why? We're all sinners. We all need work done. But I want you to take it personally tonight, and I want to help you for just a little while here. First of all, the Bible says the words of a righteous man, first of all, are like a well. We know what a well is. Matter of fact, on back part of the parking lot back here, back past the gravel, we have our well that is hooked up for the church. Our water comes from the back end of the property over here. And it's a deep well. I think it's 176 feet deep or something. It goes through a bunch of hard rock before you get to it. And honestly, the biggest underground water reserve in the entire panhandle is right underneath where you're at right now. There's enough water underneath where you're sitting right now to take care of the entire panhandle for about 5 years without it ever raining. It is a huge underground reservoir. Now, What is a well? It's a deep hole in the ground where you get water. I know that's simple, but that's what it is. I want you to notice something about a well. A well gives water that's refreshing. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 18. You're in the book of Proverbs. I'll try to stay mostly in the book of Proverbs tonight. Look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Can I tell you something? Do you know that you have the words to give life or the words to destroy life with your own mouth? Please listen to this. I'm not for this. I don't think it should be this way. But we have people all over our country and all over our world committing suicide because of what somebody says on Facebook. You say, well, I have the right to say what I want to say. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I do have the right to say it, but it doesn't mean it should be said. I have a right to carry a weapon. Doesn't mean I got to strap a .44 with a 16-inch barrel on my hip and walk around like John Wayne everywhere I go. Now, I can, but it's not real wise. Besides, I don't like a gun that long. You know, it's hard to... By the time you get that thing unholstered, you're in trouble, amen? Now, wait a minute. God says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it, that's the good thing, shall eat the fruit thereof. Fruit's good and sweet. I love grapes. Man, to me, the best fruit in the world is a grape. I still can't taste anything, but I still like them. And in the summertime, you pop them things in the freezer and they get hard. And oh, man, that's the best thing there is. Don't let them thaw out, though. They get really real quick. You got to eat them when they're froze. But that'll quench your thirst that quick. That's what a well is. It's refreshing. It gives life. If you've ever worked to where you're about ready to drop and you need some good cold water and you get some good old well water, oh my soul, or spring water, that's the best thing in the world. God says that our words can be life-giving. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 10. Look at verse number 21. Same chapter we were in. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Can I tell you something? When you speak right words, people will feed from them. Don't take this the wrong way. I try to feed you with good words. That's why people show up to church. They don't need somebody coming to talk all over top of their head and show you how smart they are and how inadequate you are. You need to hear what God has to say in plain terminology so you can understand it and go out and get a blessing and live it. My job is to feed you. I've been to fancy restaurants before. Good night. Usually when you go to a fancy restaurant, you stop at Burger King on the way home or something. You all know what I'm talking about? You got to pay $50 for three green beans that are not even done. And they got food. They turn the lights down so you can't see what you're eating. Pay the power bill and put some more food on my plate. Amen? Good grief. Remember, my wife and I went to this banquet one time. It was like $125 a person. We all stopped at a restaurant on the way home. It was so bad. I thought, good night. If this is how rich people live, I'm glad I'm not rich. I want nothing to do with that mess. My wife and I had been given gift certificates to, I think we were eating in John Hancock Building in Chicago. It's like the 86th or 84th floor. I forget which floor it was. It's way up there. We're there and all the lights are down. They bring the salad out. You know, you got forks and spoons and knives laying everywhere. And good night. They brought this salad out. I'm eating away. My wife put something in her mouth and she went, mm. And my wife, Miss Prim and Miss Proper, she couldn't, it kept growing in her mouth and she couldn't take it anymore. And she put that thing, it was an anchovy. You know, one of those dried fuzzy fish. She hates fish to begin with, but when you put one of those dried fuzzy fish in a salad, oh, she just about hurled. And I'm laughing at her. Ha, 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 ha. She said, didn't you taste that? I said, it's salty, all right? It doesn't matter. I can eat anything. I can get it down the pie hole once. They think that's exciting. Don't put them on my pizza, though. They're, it gets nasty. But this well brings life. It's refreshing. It's healthy. Did you know your words are supposed to be healthy? Turn Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Look at verse number 14. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his what? Mouth. Oh. And the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. In other words, you don't know as much as you think you know. A fool's wrath is presently known. That's that dynamite thing. But a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is what? Health. Oh. The lips of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Can I tell you something? Our words ought to be healthy to people, not sharp and cutting people. Too many of us, well, I'm just telling the truth, preacher. Well, there is a way to tell the truth and not be rude about it. Sometimes you don't have to tell everybody what you're thinking. My preacher used to tell me this and tell us preacher boys all the time, fellas, don't preach everything you know about one subject because somebody's going to ask you a question one day. In other words, there's things that ought not be said in public, but it can be said in private. Just because you're thinking it and you think you know the answer to it, everybody doesn't need to hear it. Our words ought not be sharp. If the first thing out of your mouth is always negative, that is sharpness. That's dynamite. It's not healthy. It's not life-giving. God says that our words are supposed to be giving faith to people, truth to people. Did you know that the Bible says that a wise man's words, here in Proverbs chapter 10, says that it will cover folks? Look at verse number 12 again. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. Now watch this. I'm going to get myself in trouble, but I love it. That's why God says love covers sin. It doesn't bring it up on the platform in church and tell everybody what you did. That's as wicked as a stinking devil. That's evil and it's gossip. Say, well, there are certain sins. Show me in the Bible where they are. And who are you to try to forgive somebody else? You can't forgive sin. Only God can. All you want to know is somebody else's dirt so you can go tell everybody how bad that person is. Before you listen to somebody else's sin, how about you get up and tell everybody your sin? Ooh. God said love covers all sins. It doesn't expose all sins. I didn't say it. God did. God said the mouth of the righteous, love covereth all sins. Turn to Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Can I tell you something? Sometimes the softness of your answer will cause the situation to settle. Everybody look at me. I love you. I reared 3 kids. 2 of them came out okay, and then I had my son Josh. Seriously, God gave us good kids for the most part. They're not perfect. They have my blood in them. Trust me. But it always cracks me up. You parents who have already raised kids or have children that are over the age of 2, you know what I'm talking about. You just have a bad attitude. Have you ever wondered where they got that? Have you ever heard yourself correct somebody? And you're correcting them for the very thing, And you're doing it the very way that that happened. And they're looking at you like, well, you're doing it to me. Especially when they become teenagers, they do that. Oh, they're real good at throwing at your face by then. Everybody doing all right? It's okay till it comes back at you and slaps you back in the face. Don't you roll your eyes at me. Okay. And when your kid says something to you, where do you think they learned it? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. My mama used to say, your kids are a mirror of your extremes. Boy, was she right. Man, I can't tell you how many times I called my mom and apologized to her when I was rearing kids. God says a soft answer turneth away wrath. Do you know sometimes you de-escalate a situation not by being the loudest and the biggest and being able to stomp the loudest? It's by being able to be the quietest. I've been married to that woman for 32 and a half years. I've never heard her yell. I've watched her run classes of 25, 30 third graders. Out on the floor, Brother Joe, you've seen it happen. They could be on a gym floor with 75 other kids. My wife could stand up and say, third grade, time to line up. And no louder than that. And you watch 25 kids go, boom. I'm thinking, I'm standing 10 feet away from her and barely heard her. She has this soft speaking. Now, her eyeballs speak with swords, let me tell you. Don't get it wrong, amen? My boys didn't have to look at their mother and say, Mom, quit yelling. It was, Mom, don't look at me that way. They still do that as grown men. Don't look at me that way, Mom. What'd I do? What'd I do? Mm-hmm. I called it the hairy eyeball. Mm. Wait a minute. We're not supposed to gossip. God says good words cover sin. It doesn't expose it. I get criticized sometimes because, well, that pastor down there, he just covers people's sins. I don't have to cover it. It's been covered by the blood. Not my job to expose it. It's my job to love them. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Maybe we ought to take a lesson from God and learn to cover people's sin. I'm not saying excuse it. But it doesn't need exposed in front of everybody. By the way, it doesn't say we're supposed to criticize them for being a sinner. Guess what? The moment you do, you're a worse sinner than they are. Well, they're not acting much like a Christian. Neither are you right now. For you to make a statement like that is not Christ-like. Ouch. Here we go. Verse number 13, Proverbs chapter 10, better move on. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. Can I tell you something? Wisdom brings understanding. Good words brings understanding. The word wisdom there is the word proper. It means doing the right thing, the right way, at the right time, with the right people, and the right methods. In other words, being proper in all situations. Do you know there are some times you're not supposed to say what you're thinking? It would not be appropriate. There are some things that, okay, there are some ways to act that we wouldn't normally act in some places. Okay, we cut up and are a little snotty and satirical here at church, but usually at a funeral I'm not that way. Now, depending on the personality of the person who went to heaven, we have a little bit of humor with it. Yesterday we were laughing, but it wasn't inappropriate. Brother Scott and I talked. Anne had her faults, just like I do, just like you do. Doesn't mean we have to talk about them. I don't have to get up and tell you all the bad things she's done in her life. She had Scott. That's bad enough. I mean, pray for her. Now, wait a minute. I can make a statement like that and turn it away, and those are good words, soft words, not critical words. There's so much I want to say here. God says that understanding comes by truth, not by opinion. There's so many of us that want our opinions heard that we publish it wherever we go. I don't have Facebook, but I've been around enough people. Good night. You know, every time they went to the bathroom, what they had for dinner, they took pictures of it, posted it. They know what, you know what restaurant you've been to. You got to do this. You got to. And I'm thinking, what in God's name do we need to have this? Who cares? Who really cares? I don't care what you ate. I'm not going to read. I've got so much other stuff to do in life. I don't have time to read that kind of garbage. I'm probably going to get in a lot of trouble here, but that's okay. Too many of you believe what you read all the time. I'm talking about comments. I don't read reviews on anything. You don't know how true those reviews are in comparison to anybody else. You don't know who wrote them. Okay, moving on. You get understanding by obedience. You don't obey after you understand. You obey and get understanding. Wisdom says do and you'll get understanding. Our generation says, well, I've got to understand before I do. Oh, no, you don't. My daddy taught me a long time ago, son, time to take trash out. Well, Dad, I don't understand why I have to. It didn't matter why, if I understood why or not. It was either you had a choice. You take it out or you get whipped and you take it out. The understanding came by the taking it out because eventually I moved away from home and guess what? I had to get the trash out every week. And when I had kids at home, they learned why they had to take trash out every week. And then when they left and left the nest, I still got to take trash out every week. It's all right. There's an understanding that comes by obedience. You don't get the understanding and then do. You do and then get the understanding. Wisdom says just do it, go through it. You don't have to understand it first, but once you get through it, you'll look back and say, that's why I did it that way. God says that the wise person's words are valuable. Look at verse 14. Wise men lay up knowledge. That term lay up means savings account. But the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Everybody look at me. Education has become a vomit factory of facts. And it's not education. I mentioned something in the news this morning. There's a board of education bubba up in Pennsylvania, up near York, who said, I'm tired of these parents that think I work for them. He said, I'm tired of the excuse that your taxes pay my salary and I work for you. He said, I was hired by people you voted in and I work for them. Can I tell you something? That shows you how deficient our educational system is. We have taught humanism that every man is his own God for so long that now the people that are running it think they are God and that we're going to listen to them because they have a position. Drop dead. Let's all cut your tax money and cut your salary and find out whether you believe it or not. I'm not afraid of these people. There used to be a day where these were public servants. We're not the ones that are supposed to be the servants. They are. And if you don't have a say-so in your kid's education, jerk them out of the school and find a good school. We're fixing to give you an alternative to that. Words are valuable knowledge. Not just facts, but usable knowledge. Do you know there's a lot of unusable, quote-unquote, facts in education today? Critical race theory is unusable, and by the way, not fact. I am so sick and tired of race. Guess what? Your soul and your spirit have no color. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. I'm colorblind anyway. Who cares? I really don't care. I have nothing to do with the color of my skin, and you don't have anything to do with the color of your skin. Who cares? I'll preach to red people, black people, white people, green people, purple people, and purple people eaters. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Please don't take this the wrong way, but take it as it was said. When the President of the United States says we're going to give special assistance and monoclonal stuff to help with these vaccines and stuff, but we're going to do it based on race, who's the racist? I'm tired of the word racism. Guess what? People are people. Period. And I'll treat you that way. I have no preference. Folks, I've been preaching for 41 years. I've preached in 33 different states. I've preached to every kind of person there is to preach to. I've preached to Koreans. I've preached to Asians. I've preached to Filipinos. I've preached to black folk. I've preached to white folk. I've preached to hillbillies, rednecks, and cowboys. I've preached to Indians. I've preached to you name it. I don't care who they are. Did you know the gospel isn't specific based on race?
That's right.
And education's not based on race. And I hate to tell you something, but we have dumbed down our society, and the bastions of liberalism are in our big cities. And after 60 and 70 and 80 years of people being on the same system of liberalism, they're still enslaved to it. I said this 2 years ago, and you're finding it out to be true. We're getting rid of all the Civil War and historical things because, oh, that person was bad, that person was bad. And I told you then, they have to erase it from people's memories because they want to start the next Civil War. They want to be the propagators of the next Civil War. And they're trying it. We are to speak words that teach about life. I hate education that says, how does this make you feel? How does this look to you? Mrs. Eggenswiler in first grade didn't ask me how I felt. She was as big as her name, trust me. And I watched her take a 12-inch wooden ruler, and if somebody did wrong, she took their hand and whap, 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 until you got it right. You say, they did that, yep, and you didn't have near the trouble in school that you had back then, back that you have now either. Been there, done that. When the principal paddled people, he put them in the hall outside the door, and you heard the crack, and you heard the screaming and the crying. Well, that's just, you're going to warp their psyche. Well, they didn't call it a psyche, but it got warped a few times. And we didn't have a whole lot of trouble in school either. And by the way, we're supposed to teach words about life, not just about our own life.
Amen.
Do you know there's a bigger world out there than you? Did you know that life isn't supposed to be lived just the way you live it? I advise people to do things that I don't personally do at times because it doesn't work for me, but it'll be great for them. There are some things that don't work for me physically, but it'll work for you. Brother Scott and I were talking. I don't sleep a lot. Can you tell? I hate to sleep. And he was talking about needing some melatonin the other day. He said, my wife doubled me up. She gave me two. I said, well, how many milligrams, Brother Scott? He said, I think they're 5 milligrams each. He said, I took 10 milligrams. He said, man, I crashed. I just looked at him and started, he said, what, preacher? I said, I take 40 to 50 milligrams every night, and I can barely sleep. He said, shoot, I wouldn't be good for 3 days. He said, that's enough for a whole week for me. I said, no, that gets me through about 4 or 5 hours. I'm serious. I'll take 40 or 50 milligrams of that every night. My brain's just going all the time. Y'all think I'm kidding. That's my wife. I could have stock in melatonin, trust me. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 2. We read verse 1, soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The press is pouring out foolishness. Quit listening to the news. Quit. Can I tell you something? You could save yourself a lot of grief and anger. Quit listening to the news. You knew they were lying before. Why do you believe their lies now? I got to hurry up here. I only got halfway through the sermon now. I got 5 minutes left. Here we go. The words of the wise are this, or what we talked about, they're a well. Number two, the words of the wicked are like dynamite. We read, the mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Let me say this to start. That's why the news media shouldn't be trusted, because everything's about violence. Did you know that violence blows up? Dynamite explodes. It creates a disaster. People blow people up with their words. Isn't it amazing that when President Trump got in office, they could hold up a head of President Trump like it had been cut off and everybody laughed about it. But if you say anything negative about a liberal, oh, you are a hater. Now, wait a minute. You were promoting violence before, but you say disagreement with you is violence. Proverbs chapter 13, look at verse number 2. Proverbs 13, verse number 2. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. Yeah, his wife didn't beat him up. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. You let a fool speak long enough, they'll destroy themselves. You let people that are violent speak long enough, they hurt themselves. They don't care who they hurt. They just want to be heard. They're the ones that beat their chest and talk the loudest. They're the ones that always have to have the last word. They're the ones that got to say it the loudest. And they got to be the meanest. Matter of fact, the Bible says that they stir up strife. Look at verse number 12. Hatred stirreth up strife. The word strife there means contention, fighting, arguing, negativity, and bad words. I'm not talking cursing necessarily, but they have hatred that pumps bitterness and strife. They take out their hatred on everyone. Have you ever noticed who they call haters are the ones that are the haters? You've heard me make this statement. You know your enemy by how they attack you. When they said President Trump was using Nazi tactics and Hitlerish tactics, look who's using Nazi tactics right now. Those who accused him of it, see, your critic will criticize you based on how they think, not on fact. And they expose what they are and what they would do if they were in your situation. I thank God when my critics start opening their mouth, I know where they're coming from then. I know how to avoid it. Boop, go ahead. Boop, go ahead. I know what your next move is. Isn't it amazing how that the very critics of right showed us exactly what direction they were going to go? I love it. They constantly argue and have negative to say. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. You know, if all you can do is talk negative, God says that's like dynamite. It is a negative charge. Do you know that dynamite is never used to build? You're not going to put dynamite in the 2x4s of your house. You're not going to build a house with explosives. You're going to blow the area up and make it to where you can build sometimes. Well, bless God, that's my job in life. No, it's not. God didn't make you to be napalm. They call it making things better by pointing out all that they think is not best. Let's put it in modern terminology, critical thinking. critical thinking is negative thinking. If all you can do is point out a problem in everything you see, God calls that foolishness. They're constantly being pushed and punished. Look at verse number 13, Proverbs chapter 10. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Okay, everybody look at me. Remember back in your school days, the kid that couldn't keep his mouth shut and always got in trouble? Yeah, Brother Joe. Yeah, the one that always was angry and would talk back to the teacher. What happened? They always got punished. They got the demerits. They got the swats. They got in trouble. They got parents called. You name it, it happened. Some of you are nodding your head. You were the one. All right. They're constant. The rod is for the back. That was in reference to punishment. They're always causing so much strife. The only way to shut them up is to punish them. I used to tell my kids, they'd get a little wound up, and I'd say, do me a favor, just shut your mouth so you don't get in more trouble. The more you talk, the more trouble you're talking yourself into. If you just shut up, you'd quit lying. Kind of like a politician. You know when they're lying, when their lips are moving. Not all of them, not Jennifer. All right? Whew. Gotta be careful, man. They're void. They're empty of seeing how they hurt and affect others. They don't care how they affect others. They just want to be heard. Verse 14 says they're always negative. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Somebody that only has negative to talk about, I try not to be around them too much. You know, I have preacher friends that are like that. I know some preachers that I just don't spend much time with them because, well, my stupid church people, and I got this problem, and I got this problem, and is all they want to do is talk about all the negative. Not too long ago, a couple months ago, I was talking to one of those guys. They happened to call me, and they went through a list of, I said, hey, and he said, what? I said, I don't need to go down this path. He said, well, what am I supposed to do about it? I said, you really want to know? He said, yeah. I said, go out, go soul winning, tell somebody about Jesus, and shut up about everything else. Well, I got trouble with my deacons. I said, take them out soul winning. Reason you got trouble with them is because of the way you're talking right now. I said, instead of talking negative, go soul winning with them. Talk about truth. Talk about right. Get a bunch of people saved. See God work in your church. Maybe shut up about all the negative stuff. He didn't like it, and he didn't call me back, and I don't care. Say why? I'm not going to listen to it. They're always negative. They're near destruction. These are the doomsdayers. Everybody doing okay? They always point out what they see as wrong, bad, or disagreeable. They can't find any good in anything. According to Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse number 19, and I'll finish with this. Verse 19, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Oh. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Notice what it says. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. The more people talk, the more sin comes out. That's why social media is dangerous. You're not going to like me for this, but that's why I don't think young people ought to have cell phones. Amen. Say, when should they get a cell phone? When they graduate from high school and can pay for it themselves. Amen. Ouch. I watch kindergartners bring cell phones to school. Now, folks, in the words of Gomer Pyle, dumb, dumb, dumb. That's about as dumb as it gets. And we wonder why the kids are in trouble all the time. They have their cell phones. They have social media accounts. They have Twitter. They have, I don't know what else they have, but they do it. And good night. We live with so many, and we're taught to think well, whatever Google says is right, or whatever Wikipedia says is right. It was on the internet. Facebook had this. You know how many times I've, well, it was on Facebook. So? Everybody doing okay? Some talk so much that they have nothing left to talk about but sin. They don't refrain their lips. I think it's dangerous for young people to date till they're college age. And even then, they ought to limit some of their time together, because after so long, there's only so many things you can talk about before you start talking about things you should not talk about. Come Wednesday night, we'll talk a little bit more about that. Some only know about sin, so that's all they talk about. I've got to quit. So the question to ask yourself is this: do my words act more like a well or more like dynamite? We all have some work to do, all of us. How about we commit our work and our words to God and get more of our words from here than here? Maybe we would be more of a well than a stick of dynamite that's lit and on fire. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I'm done. I went over a couple minutes, but it's something we all need. This is one of those reset button sermons we all need. I'm not saying you have a dirty, filthy, foul mouth, but sometimes we're so negative we don't keep ourselves in check. Is it a well or is it dynamite?